Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome on into the Wolverine.com podcast. Clayton Safey here with Chris Ballas on a Thursday, February 15th, nearing noon Eastern. Had some news this morning on Michigan's defensive coaching staff, which is pretty much filled up at this point. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about some NIL news as well, some record-breaking NFL combine news. But before we do that, make sure to like the video if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. And we have a special offer for podcast listeners and viewers at thewolverine.com. You can get 2 months of premium access for just $1 using the promo code UM1. That's UM in the numeral one. So check us out over there. You can become a poster on our message board like the rest of the crazies over there, which I include myself in that. But CB, how's it going today?
Doing great, Clay. Nice to get this coaching staff settled, right? And then we can concentrate on football and spring ball and everything else. And, you know, didn't quite go the way a lot of us expected to with the continuity hire. And we will see how it plays out. But certainly, Sharon Moore was aggressive in going after his guys. And it looks like there are a lot of great additions to his staff. Again, we wish him nothing but success. It's going to be a tough act to follow with Jim Harbaugh. It's funny. Excuse me, Clay. You see these people saying, wow, with Jim flirting with the NFL every year, you know, maybe Sharon will be the guy that gets the statue down the line. And I'm like, man, it took Jim Harbaugh 6 years to get elite. And he's one of the best coaches in the country. If Sharon accomplishes half of that, I'll be thrilled, frankly. I mean, and that's just the reality of it. It has nothing to do with his ability, Clay, but I'm going to miss Jim Harbaugh for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, a guy that was at the top of the NFL and came back, and it still was very tough. I mean, Urban Meyer made it hard. You know, some officials made it hard back in 2016. But, like, the margins are so thin. You get one bad spot, and, you know, things go completely different than you expected in year two. And then, you know, you got to wait till 2021 to win the Big Ten championship. So, absolutely, I agree with you. I think that's why. You're right. Like, there were some people that were frustrated that Harbaugh was flirting, and they were saying, all right, just go, Jim. You know, well, it's like, well, no, it's easy to say that in the moment on January 21st or whatever it was. But it's, you know, reality doesn't, you know, it can hit you in the face a little bit. I mean, we'll talk about it in a second, but I do like some of the moves that Sharon Moore has made with his coaching staff, but it's going to look different, and it's going to be an uphill battle for him to climb as a first time head coach. But again, I mean, he was hired and they have the confidence in him that he can do it.
And you know what? Absolutely right, by the way. You were absolutely right about Harbaugh when everybody, when it was 50-50 on our website. We took a poll and say, hey, is Jim Harbaugh still the right guy to go forward in 2020? And now that we look back on it in hindsight, that was a write-off season, you know. And if you think about it, when you're stopping and starting practice all the time, and you got kids that aren't invested and they're thinking, why am I giving my all to this when, you know, I'm going to be gone next year, 3-4 elite players opted out, you know, and I was one of those that said, if Jim Harbaugh gets back to being the guy, because I had my doubts, I absolutely did. And I think a lot of other people did too, that, okay, he's got to get back to being that coach that has that fire, that, you know, what's your deal, Jim, is what I said on every radio show. I remember going on a huge show and saying it on our podcasts. If he's that guy, especially after getting your pay cut in half, and you've got that fire lit under you. And I'm not giving Ward Manuel credit for lighting that fire on him. I think the competitor in Jim Harbaugh would have come out anyway after a 2-4 season. But to me, he switched that gear, and we saw the best of Jim Harbaugh in the last 3 years. Better late than never, buddy. I will never forget it.
Yeah, it was a heck of a run. And watching him, it is weird watching him with Los Angeles. He's kind of got that same energy going and building his own staff and hitting the ground running with free agency and all that. But what he did at Michigan was pretty incredible. And, you know, obviously disappointing they weren't able to keep him, but, you know, Michigan has a new era ahead. He's got new challenges ahead. Let's talk about some of those challenges and some big news on Wednesday with Michigan's NIL. They sign a partnership with Altius Sports Partners. and also furthered their existing partnership with Learfield. But you know, my biggest takeaway from it is the executive general manager position with Altius that's going to come in. They're a consulting firm, I guess you could say, on NIL, working with a few dozen college athletic departments, consulting, you know, giving them best practices, giving them their advice. And there's an executive GM position that's going to be coming into Michigan, where he's going to work within the athletic department, be a employee of LTS. And to me, with that position specifically, you know, I understand if you're an athletic department employee, if you're Ward Manuel, the athletic department, like you want NIL to be good. You need that to be good, but you also do have to look out for the bottom line and everything else in development. But to have somebody in there whose agenda is NIL and, hey, this is what you could do NIL better. That guy's not going to be making the decisions necessarily, but he can make those recommendations, give them all the facts of what the reality is. So I think that's a nice step for Michigan in the NIL space.
And finding NIL opportunities for kids. Talking about one of my buddies who was up at Northwestern and watching how they did it on the basketball side of things. And, you know, everybody thought, hey, Northwestern, if you want to poach some kids, you know what, go to Northwestern. They're probably, you know, not getting anything. Well, Altius was one of the reasons that some of their bigger kids stuck around. Excuse me. And it's been a long time coming at Michigan. First, it was supposed to be out west, William Morris Endeavor, and that didn't pan out. You know, they were supposed to be a pioneer there, and for whatever reason, that didn't work. But Altius has been around now for a while, and Michigan's been in the works with them for a while. Better late than never, I would say. But the bigger news was that Champion Circle is really starting to get the donations here. A couple of really big ones from anonymous donors that are getting them up to where they need to be to not only retain their roster, which is something that Sherrone Moore is going to need. He's going to have to hit the ground running here, and he needs his players on board, especially after losing guys like Ben Herbert and that. There were some kids that were questioning whether or not they were coming back. And then to go out into the portal and find some pieces that could make this team really, really good, Clay. I understand. And people keep telling me, well, you don't lose that kind of talent and 18 guys to the NFL combine and come back and have a good year. You can have a good year. There's nothing that says with the talent returning that you can't have a good year. There's a lot of really good talent on this football team. Are they going to be national championship contenders? Probably not. And that's okay, but you can make a playoff. You can sneak in a 12-team playoff, in my opinion, if you find a quarterback. So that's big news. I love that. I love seeing that because, again, they've been playing catch up here, which should never happen at a place like Michigan. But to finally get that is good news.
Yeah, and I do want to make it clear that my anonymous my donations that I made were anonymous. So
right, exactly. Clay, I was trying to protect your identity here. Okay, yeah. So I did the best I could, but did you see me winking at you and stuff? You know,
right, so, exactly. Yeah. So no, thank you for that
multi-million-dollar donation, Clay.
Right. Yeah. but it's huge that Champion Circle has kind of continued their momentum, and you got to give them a lot of credit for the efforts that they've had. And, you know, Santa Ono going around and Ward Manuel during Michigan's championship run as well in Los Angeles and Houston and capitalizing on that. You have to keep it going because, okay, well, you know, you have this amount of money for this season. Well, next year you kind of need the next amount. I remember we were talking to a former Ohio State player last summer, and he was talking about donor fatigue with NIL. And that was last summer. Now, obviously, Ohio State got desperate. They lost to Michigan and they don't have that donor fatigue anymore. Yeah, three times. And so they maybe don't have it anymore. But as we're seeing on the basketball side, and one of the points you made in a column a week or two ago was, okay, well, if Juwan Howard stays, is that going to be exciting enough for the donors to get in line and donate for NIL? And I'm not saying that the same thing is going to happen to Michigan football that's happening with Michigan basketball, but basically my point is great job. They're doing good work. They're you know, getting traction here, but it has to continue for years and years and years. But in the short term, if you can get some guys out of the transfer portal, if you can keep these guys on the current roster, there's enough talent. It's one thing if you lose 18 guys who could be picked off of an 8-4 team. Like, you know, even in 2016, that was a great team and they had a lot of talent. I think then they set the Michigan record with 11 draft picks the next spring. But that was 11 draft picks off of a team that was 10-3, you know, and again, they could have been better, as we mentioned at the top. But this is 18 guys off of a national championship team that was really deep as hell. They have a ton of talent on defense left. So you need to get this done in the short term to keep everybody, get some transfers. You also need to get it done in the long term. And it seems like they're on their way to doing that.
They did it finally, right? And it got dicey when Ben Herbert left and these kids got together and were walking out of that room. And some of them were literally in tears and talking about their next moves, according to some of the families that we've spoken with. And each one of those adds up, right? When you lose your position coach, you lose your head coach, you lose your strength coach, you lose your coordinator. Right. So keeping these guys on defense to me is really a testament to these guys, A, believe in the culture at Michigan, and B, believe in Sherrone Moore. Maybe not in that order, right? Everybody I've talked to loves Sherrone Moore. And it's going to be very interesting to see how he proceeds here as his own coach instead of, you know, being in Jim Harbaugh's shadow. But he was basically the anointed one, right? That Jim Harbaugh, and I trust Jim Harbaugh's judgment, as I know you do, Clay. Okay, this guy is ready for this. But we're going to find out. And it's not as simple as saying, okay, this guy's ready to be a head coach. And I'll give Juwan Howard as an example, right? A lot of people thought, okay, well, this just makes sense. He's been an assistant coach, but he's never run a college program. And that's one thing to his credit that he recognized. And he went out and got Phil Martelli as his right-hand man, worked for a couple of years or at least a year, you know, and now we're kind of seeing a regression there. So, but I trust that Sherrone Moore is going to be, if he has the NIL behind him, he's going to be a great young recruiter and an aggressive recruiter. He's one of the best guys I've ever met in this business. And that's not hyperbole. This guy is just a really good down to earth person. I hope it stays that way. We hope to, you know, have the same kind of relationship we've always had with him. And I don't expect that to change because he's such a good person from what we understand. So, but it is different running your own program than filling in or being an offensive coordinator. And he's kind of found that out having to replace a bunch of coaches. But to his credit, he went out and got what looks like a pretty darn good staff. Got maybe one more spot to fill. We'll see. But he's not Jim Harbaugh. And the sooner that people come to grips with that, I think the sooner, you know what, there are high expectations of him. But expecting him to win at an unprecedented level like Jim Harbaugh did in 3 years, to me, is unfair.
Especially right away. I think it was right. Going to be tough even for a Jim Harbaugh-led Michigan team to follow up a national championship this year or, you know, make it back to the title game or what have you, especially with the added competition in the Big Ten and Michigan's challenging schedule. But I want to move on and talk about the Wolverines commemorative issue. The pre-orders are done. We had way over our expectations on those. So thank you to everybody who bought one. I think they were heeding my advice of buy three, one for yourself, one for a friend, and one to kind of store away in the archives there. So appreciate everybody doing that. But we still have over 1,000 copies available of each of the magazine version for $19.95 and the book for $35.95. So it's 144 pages of content looking back at Michigan's 2023 national championship winning season, 12th ever national title in program history. We got all sorts of stuff from that, looking back at each game, columns, analysis, exclusive interviews, features on some of the top players. So, and just a great cover as well. I think I'm going to get one blown up and throw it up on the wall. So, very excited to get that out there. It ships out next week for the magazine version. The book will ship in mid-March, but go to the WolverineOnDemand.com or visit the link in the description of either the video or the podcast here to order yours. Again, still over 1,000 copies of each of the magazine and the book.
Get two of those blown up. Well, yeah, I want one on my wall as well. And
I'm going to get you one then.
I'll pay you back. You know I'm good for it. It takes a year or two, but I'm good for that $5.
Hey, I got you. Yeah, so right, we will get that done. Right. It's exciting. I can't wait to see it. So go to the WolverineOnDemand.com. Link in the description as well. 18 Wolverines invited to the NFL Combine, as we mentioned, which is ridiculous. It breaks LSU's previous record of 2020 of 16. And that was a hell of a draft class. Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, all those guys. And Jim Harbaugh's comment back in last summer, saying that Michigan could break Georgia's, and he predicted it, I think, their record of 15 draft picks in 2022, coming off of that ridiculous championship season that we saw firsthand in the semifinal game. Jordan Davis and all those guys, but I'll run down the list here of the guys who got invited from Michigan. JJ McCarthy, Blake Corum, Cornelius Johnson, Roman Wilson, AJ Barner, Carson Barnhart, Ladarius Henderson, Trente Jones, Trevor Keegan, Drake Nugent, Zach Zinter, Jalen Harrell, Braden McGregor, Chris Jenkins, Michael Barrett, Junior Colson, Mikey Sainristil, and Josh Wallace. And when I do count up the guys who I consider to be locks to be drafted, I'm right at 15. That means
ask you that, Clay. I was going to say, I'm going to put you on the spot. How many are going to get drafted? Do you think they're going to match at 15?
I think they're going to match it. If I think there's a better chance of them either not getting it or exceeding it, I would actually say exceeding it. I mean, think of the guys. The only guys I don't have is a lock on there, and I still think they could get picked, or Cornelius Johnson, Carson Barnhart, and Trente Jones. And I think Carson and Trente could easily be picked. I mean, and I think James Turner.
If there's a seventh round pick and Los Angeles Chargers are on the board, or the Baltimore Ravens, it wouldn't shock me.
Or the Seahawks.
Yeah, or the Seahawks. God, it's growing. It's growing. It's nice to have those guys to be able to reach out to, you know?
It is, for sure. So, James Turner didn't get invited. He's a kicker. He could go late in the draft. You know, probably not, I would say. He's not one of the specialists that was invited, but there are only six or seven, including both punters and kickers. So you see that each and every year. Now, doing the math, there are 321 players invited to the combine. There are 256 picks in this upcoming draft. So about 80% of the guys at the combine overall will get picked. Actually, probably less than that, because there will be some guys that weren't invited who get selected, like we just mentioned with James Turner. But your reaction just to seeing that, not a surprise, I guess, but I mean, to smash that record by two, yeah. And really Michigan had always kind of been around 8, 9, you know, guys, but to get 18 speaks to how deep and talented that team was last season.
I finally got a chance to sit down at my dad's house and my mom and dad's house and watch the Alabama game and watch the Washington game. And looking at that talent out there, first of all, Josh Wallace, who you mentioned, what a year and what a postseason for that kid.
No
doubt. I went back and saw play after play after play he made. Everybody thought he was going to get picked on. You know, and every time maybe a ball went over his head, and it wasn't very often, everybody's like, oh, see, I told you it was going to be a weak link. He was not only not a weak link, he had an outstanding year as that second corner. And that just goes to show you in the portal, it doesn't have to be that guy from Alabama or that five star. You can get a guy like Josh Wallace who can play like a five star and be every bit as important. So, but the other takeaway I had from it, Clay, was when you have rivals saying, well, they didn't have to go through an elite Georgia team or, you know, the best of the best Alabama team. There was no team out there like that. Well, Michigan was that team this year, right? Yeah. They were so deep and so talented in every position that you can lose an All-American in Zach Zinter and still win a national championship. And frankly, the run blocking got better, in my opinion. That's nothing to do with Zinter, obviously, but I think the way that these guys meshed a little bit better, if you look on the right side at Trente Jones and Carson Barnhart, they really started moving people off the ball and did a few different things that really made that offense, that running game click. So, but Michigan was that team. You look at a guy like JJ McCarthy, who could be a top 10 pick now. Blake Corum is an elite college running back, right? And no, he didn't have the Heisman Trophy year that many thought he could, but you look at Colston Loveland, he's going to be a first round pick, in my opinion, next year. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball, right? Right? The defensive side of the ball, sick, that defensive line. So that's what I took from it. This team is the best team in Michigan football history, with all due respect to the 1901 point a minute team that a little bit before my time. I still haven't found film, but we'll compare and contrast at some other point.
Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, who would win head-to-head?
head to head. I don't see that. Don't put me on the spot like that. Okay. What kind of helmets do they get? Did they get real helmets or like little leather ones, or do they even wear helmets? I don't know. See, that's not fair. That's a good point.
You can't compare Harris. Yeah,
exactly.
But no, in next year, it wasn't just 18 guys. Next year, they could have four. They have four guys who could be first round picks next year. Colston Loveland, Will Johnson, Mason Graham, and Kenneth Grant. And, you know, so that adds to it. And yeah, I mean, look, everyone that was saying, oh, Michigan's scared of Alabama based on the video when we were in the room. And I didn't think that at all. I actually didn't even know that was the reaction until we got in the car afterwards, which kind of proves us being there firsthand that it was not what we thought. Michigan's scared. They're going to get rolled over by Alabama. Those same people now are saying, oh, Alabama wasn't that good. They were the second most talented roster in college football history, according to the recruiting rankings and who they brought in through the transfer portal as well. So you can kind of do this revisionist history, you know, if you want, if you're in the South and you're trying to do that and justify or, you know, or cope with Michigan winning the national championship, but it's just not really accurate. And, you know, it kind of makes it even sweeter, I think, that Michigan won, because it has everybody, their brains are broken basically at this point. But there was so much talent on that team. And I'm excited to watch these guys at the combine too. I think Anthony and I are going down for a couple days.
Nice.
And maybe I'll hop in on the bench as well, see if I can get a couple reps. But yeah, it's going to be exciting to watch all these guys in the NFL, because forever, as Jim Harbaugh said, they're simply known as national champions. They're going to have that walk that John Jansen walks around with, and all the guys from 97 who are national champs forever. Terry Mills, every game in basketball, he gets introduced as the national champ, Terry Mills. So these are all national champs. So it's going to be fun to follow the rest of their careers.
It's a fun fraternity. And I was watching Harbaugh too. Not only a national championship fraternity, as Harbaugh said when he was being interviewed, I think I don't know if it was before the Super Bowl or something like that, winning it. He goes, man, we did this. You know, my lasting memory of JJ McCarthy walking through out of the tunnel, and he was going back towards the field after he went and got his phone or something like that. And he was talking to himself, and he walked right past it. He goes, man, he goes, we just won the natty, you know? And it's like, that is such an unbelievably small fraternity, and such an unbelievable accomplishment that even guys like the Bosas, you know, when they're being put on the spot, what about Michigan and the cheating? And goes, uh-uh, they earned that shit, you know? Real recognized real, man. You know, so, and those guys all understand that what Michigan accomplished out there was done on the football field.
What Bosa said that, because Joey now plays for Jim.
So. Yeah. Right. I don't remember. It was like at a press conference or something like that. And so that is interesting though. Yeah. Well, now I'll say this about the one Bosa, he's got a better chance of winning a title, you know, because Jim Harbaugh is going to win in LA. It's funny that people are like, oh, he's got the salary cap. That doesn't matter, man. This guy is a winner, and he knows how to assemble a staff. He knows how to assemble a team, and he knows how to win. He is frankly the best coach probably of his era. If you look, everybody's going to say Nick Saban. If Jim Harbaugh had the resources at Alabama, he would have been the same type of coach. But how many coaches have gone out and done it at the NFL level and the collegiate level? It's like two or three. And really only one that's done it without, this guy, he's a legend. As everybody says, he's just a flat out legend.
He jumped right out of playing to coaching, and basically immediately after 2 years becomes a head coach and then wins everywhere. Pretty unheard of. Obviously had the, not advantage. I mean, it was an advantage, but growing up around the game with his dad and everything. But I mean, just pretty incredible. I'm sure we'll talk about this before the draft. We have a couple months, but if there's one guy on the list that Jim Harbaugh could pick, who do you think would be the perfect fit?
Mikey Sainristal.
Yeah.
Because he's a
he's going to take him player. If he's there in the third or fourth.
I would take him in a heartbeat. And, I get it. You know, everybody talks about measurables and everything like that. But the Detroit Lions started becoming really, really good when they didn't just rely on that. And they relied on culture and guys that might be in the neighborhood, but just had that will to win. Like an Aiden Hutchinson, right? How many people were saying that they should have taken, though? What's his name that went to the Giants over Aiden Hutchinson?
Tibber, you know? Man.
Yeah, Thibodeau. Yeah, see, and I'm sure he's going to be a good player, but guys that win titles are guys that are great football players and great teammates. Mikey Sainristal is a Michigan legend. No, he's not Charles Woodson, but he is in that next tier of guys that makes a position switch and was so good, and he's a three-time Big Ten champ and a national champion. Love that guy. Love everything that he represented that program so well. His parents should be very proud of him.
No doubt. Yeah, he is a legend many times over at this point. I'll go with another legend. I think Blake Corum. It sounds like Austin Eckler is going to leave in free agency. I think he'd be a perfect fit. I actually don't buy that he's not going to be a good NFL running back. I think, or, you know, he's probably better college than he was NFL, but I think he's going to be really good. And I think Blake Corum would be a guy that Jim Harbaugh wants. And Blake said in an interview he would love to play there. So that would be kind of fun to watch. But let's move on to some defensive staff moves. Sharon Moore pretty much wraps up his defensive staff. Still waiting on Mike Hart on the offensive side of the ball. They've been a little bit quiet there. But defensively, you have Wink Martindale as the coordinator. Greg Scruggs expected to come in as the defensive line coach out of Wisconsin. Brian Jean-Marie coming from Tennessee. He was here at Michigan in 2020. That, luckily for us, sometimes news breaks right after we record. This one right before we recorded. So that was nice. Coming in as linebackers coach, Stephen Adegoke, who was here as a GA in 2021, learned the defense under Mike McDonald, then goes to the 49ers to become a quality control coach. He gets taken by D'Amico Ryans, who's an elite defensive coach, to become the safeties coach of the Texans. Michigan's able to get him out of the NFL as the defensive backs coach. And then, you know, you have J.B. Brown as special team. So they're not going to have a safeties and corners coach, which I liked having two guys in the back end there, but sounds like it'll be Adegoke exclusively there. But your thoughts on this defensive staff looking like it's in the final stages of being wrapped up?
Yeah, let's wait until they're signed before we completely celebrate. It's funny because when we were talking about Klingscale, you know, saying, look, you know, there's still a chance that he could go, and everybody's else, oh, no, he's wrapped up, so on and so forth. You know, until it's done, it's not done, but it's really looking good. So I like these guys. Again, they're young, right? And there are going to be some things that they learn, which is why having a veteran like a Wink Martindale there, I think, is going to help these guys, right? But Brian Jean-Marie, I was talking to my buddy Brent Hubbs at VolQuest. He said he really developed talent well. A lot of people who were here said, well, kind of mixed reviews on him in 2020. There were mixed reviews on everybody in 2020. That's just not fair to say, okay, he didn't do the job or whatever, because every position group sucked, frankly, on that team, with little exception. And it was just not, it was a write-off year. So, but great recruiter. These guys are all familiar with each other. I think they're going to work really, really well together as a staff. I think recruiting is going to be huge again for Sharon Moore going forward until he gets more and more experience as a head coach. And I think he's got a bunch of guys that can do that. So I'm excited about it for them. I'm excited again for Sharon Moore getting his opportunity. And I think, you know what, the first year is going to be huge. And the sooner that they can get these guys in here and work on these guys, because there's still that spring transfer portal, Clay, when guys could get in there. I don't think they're going to lose anybody in the 30 days after Jim Harbaugh left. But these guys have to develop relationships with these guys and do that, keep this team intact. And let's go, man. Let's see what happens this fall.
Yeah, and the thing about Jean-Marie, too, is it was so hard to judge exactly what that was, as you mentioned. He's known as a very good recruiter, and I think, you know, EJ talks about that. I mean, they weren't really able to recruit in person much at all, I think, when he was on staff, maybe for like a month or two after he was hired. You know, it's kind of an incomplete, but then you read about what he did, as you mentioned, at Tennessee. And, you know, I was reading something from the guys over at VolQuest that said on their message board, one of the staff members said there was the linebacker room at Tennessee was the worst position room, maybe in the Power Five when he got there. And they've seen steady improvement throughout their time. Aaron Beasley, a kid who has improved quite a bit. So excited to talk to those guys and kind of hear more about firsthand what he did, the impact he made, because there's much more of a sample size at Tennessee in those three seasons than there was at Michigan in that one year, even though it looked like maybe Michigan was going to hire somebody over him. But then he interviewed with the Jaguars. Michigan wouldn't pay his buyout. Don't blame Jim Harbaugh for being petty against Trent Baalke and Urban Meyer, who were trying to hire him. But he's back. And I think that, you know, he has a great rapport with Sharon Moore. They coached together at Louisville as well. CB, we're seeing a lot of hires where, you know, these are guys that either coach or worked with Sharon Moore at Michigan or at Louisville. Scruggs, same thing there. And I think the familiarity can be nice as he kind of grows his network. I think the fact that Don Martindale signed off on these guys on the defensive side speaks to what they can do as well. So, you know, but we're definitely noticing a trend with, you know, Steve Kasula, JB Brown, you know, Adegoki, Jean-Marie Scruggs. I mean, you could really go down the line. It's pretty much everybody with a tie to Sherrone Moore. And I mean, them coming back and leaving places like Tennessee where they're pretty established, I think does speak to what they believe in with Sherrone Moore.
As long as they're not just yes men, I would say.
Agreed.
That is one thing. You know, Bo Schembechler had guys that were challenging him all the time.
He'd just fire him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they'd come back the next day.
Yeah. Or the afternoon.
And like, I remember that Jerry Hamlin story. You're fired, Hamlin. He goes, you fired me last week, Bo, you know, type of thing. So as long as he is willing to, as long as they are willing to challenge him and bounce ideas off him. And if something's not working, you know what, go at it and let him know, because to me, that's important. You can't have somebody, you know, that just says, yeah, you're doing great because of job security or because he's your buddy or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see that, how that dynamic works on this staff as well. So, but more than anything, I think there are a lot of good coaches on this staff. And you know, when you lose guys like Klingscale, to me, one of the best secondary coaches in the country, right? Mike Elston, one of the best defensive line coaches in the country. Now, talent makes you look better too. But again, when you look at a guy like Josh Wallace and what Klingscale was doing with him back there, you know, just fantastic. So we'll see. But let's get through spring. Let's keep all these guys here. But on top of that, go out and get a quarterback in the portal. You know, go out and get a wide receiver. Go out and get another linebacker and another corner and get this thing going, man. It's like Sherrone Moore told his team that this is, you know what, the expectations aren't going to change just because we lost all these guys. You better come back here and expect to win a championship again. So go out and make it happen. It sounds like now they've got the NIL game going to the point where they can make some strong ass offers, as Will Wade might say, and go from there. Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy. No, great points. I'm interested to hear about from the players when we get to talk to them in the spring about what these new staff additions have brought to the team. I'm interested. We probably won't hear a ton about it, but just how much the defense is going to be. All right, Wink, kind of go do your thing. And, you know, Sherrone can focus on offense and the, you know, rest of being a head coach, which is, you know, basically there probably aren't enough hours in the day to do all those tasks these days for college football head coaches. But I think he's done a pretty good job here making some hires, and we will see how it kind of comes together. We'll see what happens with Mike Hart as well as time goes on. Let's finish real quick with basketball. Let's start with this part of it. Ward Manuel spoke yesterday on Wednesday and basically gave a quote that I didn't read much into. It was, I'm not thinking about making any changes at this time to the basketball program. He's focused on supporting Juwan Howard. He said they have to be better. They know that. You know, pretty standard answer that I don't think is worthy of outrage or an indication of what's going to happen in the future.
I agree 100%. What's he supposed to say? Juwan's right on the hot seat. He better win 3 or 4 games down the stretch or we're going to fire him. No, it doesn't work that way. It's about action, right? And to me, something's got to change flat out. You know, who knows what that'll be and who knows what that is in Ward Manuel's mind. But, you know, we've heard too much about the basketball program the last few years that's been negative more than positive. And when you don't make the tournament, you know, let's be honest. When they made the Sweet 16, that's always an accomplishment, but they were lucky to be in the tournament that year. They beat Ohio State on the road without Hunter Dickinson. Remember that? To get back.
The Devontae Jones game.
Or they are not in the tournament. And then you're talking 3 years in a row. But the trend has been going down, and the culture, when you lose a guy like John Sanderson, who I have great respect for as a strength coach, this guy, you know, is one of the, you know, just a good guy. You know, I've known him well for 12 years, and that's an issue flat out. And regardless what happened, that's an issue. And, you know, when he's the one, he's talking about culture and you look at it, and there are some things out there when you watch them play, Clay, in terms of body language between each other and everything else, and guys making the same mistakes over and over again. And then you hear portal rumblings that you can tell that the culture isn't where it needs to be. So what's going to happen, I don't know, but I don't blame Ward Manuel for not coming down on his coach right now and saying he's going to be gone if this doesn't improve. That doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, and I know Chris Holtman was fired yesterday at Ohio State, but it's never been Ward Manuel's forte to make a move like that in season at Michigan. You know, Chris Holtman was on the hot seat a year ago. And look, I don't really think it benefits Ohio State that much that they did this. I mean, I guess you get the jump start on, you know, back channeling, but all the guys that are out there are going to be coaching their teams anyway for the next few weeks at least. You guys you would hope to consider hopefully are coaching them for about a month plus longer. But and then what do you think happens Saturday night, Michigan, Michigan State?
I don't know. I think they can give them a battle. They've been playing teams like that well at home. The problem is that you're probably going to have 30%, 35% Michigan State fans there, which is going to be embarrassing. And that should never happen at a place like Michigan. Of course, last place in the Big Ten should never happen at a place like Michigan. 10th place in the Big Ten should never happen at a place like Michigan. It's unacceptable. So, and yes, it's a fickle fan base when it comes to hoops, but when it is good, it is so damn good, as we found under John Beilein, right? I go back and I get goosebumps watching some of those clips of how good those teams were and how loud it was in that arena. So to see it deteriorate to what it's become is flat out unacceptable. So I think they could win. At the same time, would it stun me if they get down by 10 points and then they kind of roll over and start making stupid mistakes? Absolutely not.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It will be interesting to see. It's funny. I know they didn't have Doug the last two games, but the fact that that team beat a top 10 team, right? Wisconsin was number 9 or 6 or whatever it was last Wednesday. And then basically the entire game against Nebraska and the entire game in the game the other night is garbage time and, you know, against Illinois. So I know they didn't have Doug, but at least they're going to have him on Saturday. It gives him a chance. I think KenPom has him as 6-point underdogs. We'll see with the Vegas line. I think that's impacted now by their how bad they've been on the road. So actually, I think Vegas will have it a little bit closer, but it'll be interesting to see. That is Saturday night at 8 o'clock at Chrysler. So if you're a Michigan fan, get your tickets and don't sell them online because they may get snatched up by Sparties, which happened at Spartan Stadium last October, which was pretty fun to watch.
Ann Arbor East, Ann Arbor West. I mean, Ann Arbor West.
That's right.
Yeah,
that was a heck of a game. Yeah. So that is going to be our show for this week. We'll see everybody again Monday. Again, please like the video on YouTube, subscribe to our channel, head to thewolverine.com for all of your Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting coverage. Special offer promo code UM1. UM, the numeral one, gets you 2 months of premium access for just $1. We'll see everyone next time.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.